Merin's new estates extended for 30 leagues along the bank of Mother Nile. At the centre stood one of the royal palaces and a magnificent temple dedicated to the falcon god Horus. Both buildings form part of the royal gift. 300 tenant farmers tilled the fertile fields, which were irrigated from the river. They tithed a fifth part of their crops to their new landlord, Lord Marshal Merin Cambyses. 150 serfs and 200 slaves, captives of Pharaoh's wars, worked in the palace or on the private part of the estate. Merin named the estate Karim Ek Horus, the Vineyards of Horus. In the spring of that year, when the crops were planted and the earth was bountiful, Pharaoh came downriver from Karnak with his royal suite to attend the nuptials of Lord Merin and his bride. Merin and Sududu came together on the riverbank. Merin was dressed in all the regalia of a marshal of the army, with ostrich plumes in his helmet, the gold chains of valour and praise on his bare chest. Sududu had jasmine blossoms in her hair, and her dress was a cloud of white silk from far Cathay. They broke the jars of Nile water and kissed, while all the people shouted with joy and besought the god's blessing. The festivities lasted 10 days and nights. Merin wanted to fill the palace fountains with wine, but from the moment she became his wife, Sududu forbade such extravagance. Merin was startled by how readily she had assumed the mantle of control over his household, but Taita comforted him. "She will make you the best possible wife. Her frugality is proof of that. An extravagant wife is a scorpion in her husband's bed." Each day Nefertiti sat with Taita and Merin for hours, listening avidly to the saga of their journey to the Mountains of the Moon. When the tale was told in all its detail, he commanded them to repeat it. Sududu, Fen, and Mintaka sat with them. Under Fen's influence, the queen's nature had changed. She had shed the weight of her sorrow and guilt, and was once again serene and aglow with happiness. It was clear to all that she had been fully reinstated in her husband's favour. One part of the story fascinated them, particularly Nefertiti. He returned to it again and again. "Tell me once more about the font," he demanded of Taita. "Make certain you leave out no single detail. Begin with the account of how you crossed the bridge of stone over the burning lava lake." When Taita reached the end of the tale, he was still not satisfied. "Describe the taste of the blueness as you drew it into your mouth. Why did it not suffocate you like water in your lungs when you breathed it? Was it cold or hot? How long after you emerged from the font did you become aware of its marvellous effects? You say the lava burns upon your legs were healed at once, and your strength returned to all your limbs. Is that truly so? Now the font has been destroyed by the eruptions of the volcano. Has it been drowned in the burning lava? What a terrible loss that would be. Has it been placed for ever beyond our grasp? The font, like the life-giving force it bestows, is eternal. As long as life on this earth exists, so also must the font," Taita replied. "Down the years the philosophers have dreamed of this magical font, and all my ancestors sought it. Eternal life and eternal youth, what matchless treasures are these!" Pharaoh's eyes were bright with an almost religious fervour. Suddenly he exclaimed, "Find it for me, Taita! I do not command it, but I implore you. I have only 20 or 30 years of my allotted time remaining to me. Go forth, Taita, and find the font again." Taita did not have to look at Fen. Her voice rang clearly in his head. "My darling Taita, I add my supplications to those of your king. Take me with you. Let us go out into all the earth until we come to the place where the font is hidden. Let me bathe in the blue, so that I may stand beside you in love with you through all eternity." "Pharaoh," Taita looked into his eager eyes, "as you command, so must I obey. If you succeed, your rewards will be without limit. I will heap upon you all the treasures and honours this world contains. What I have now is sufficient. I have youth and the wisdom of ages. I have the love of my king and my woman. I do this out of love for you both.